Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment. Because when I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been, if he kind of stepped in. Oh, I got a praise on the inside that can't be denied. And I got to get it out right now. It might get loud. I raise a hallelujah.
Shake prison walls, and I will will speak to my fear. I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then. You'll be faithful now. Oh, yes, you'll be faithful. Yeah. I am standing on your word.
Let's pray. God, you are faithful. You have been faithful. You always will be faithful to us. And we pray today that you will remind us, that you call us into ever deeper relationship with you. When you call us and you invite us, you do that because of who you are, not because of who we are. And you already know our faults, our failures, our weaknesses, and yet you call us anyway. And so, God, today we pray that you will open our ears to hear your words, follow me once again. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be fruitful, not only as individual Christians, but as a church family. We pray all of this, and we remember today Clifford Smith and Barbara Clark, Val Carr, Gene Hammett, Mark Schimmer, Edith Roberts, Hugh Roberts, Gail Pulley, and Bev Noble, as well as others whom we lay before you in our hearts who are ill or in special need of your presence. God, we pray today that you will fill this place with your Holy Spirit, so that all that we do, all that we say, all that we pray about, all that we consider taking action upon will be for your glory and for the building of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name, and now we pray as he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You got a little rest. Let's stand and sing one more.
Broken from my regard, but
through it all.
But through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. It is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. In this mountain, and this mountain that's in front of me, will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, God, and through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. It is well. So let go.
It is well.
Have a seat.
Actually, take just a moment and share the peace of Jesus Christ with one another. It's all right. It's not your fault. We're changing a few things.
We're changing the order in launch. And I told Hammond I wanted to, you know, get with the up and down. But please stand and pass the peace of Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
We're going to have toned.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the Sanctuary Bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Welcome to Asbury. I'm glad you're here. And as we return to our seats, I'll introduce myself. And we are so glad that you are here today. Thank you for being with us. And we welcome those folks who are worshiping online as well, whether you're worshiping live on Sunday morning or later on at your convenience. I do want to say just a quick word. Brother Nick is out today, and it's because of something that's really cool. The University of Central Missouri dedicated a building to Jen's grandfather yesterday. His name was Roger Dinker, and Coach Dinker was the wrestling coach there at the University of Central Missouri for many years, and so they dedicated their wrestling facility in honor of Coach Roger Dinker yesterday. So be sure and give Jen a big pat on the back. And her grandfather, I knew Roger a little bit, and it was just a fine human being, and we're so thankful for that. So be in prayer for Nick and the family as they return from Missouri later on in the week. I do want to let our online worshipers know that we have something new today, and actually you can use it in the room if you want. There's nothing online about it other than this has all. If you scan this QR code on your screen, it will take you to our church website, and there are a series of links there. And so you can sign in, you can register your attendance using that QR code. You can, there's a link to give. There is lots of information about upcoming events and activities. And in the case that those require registration, there's a link there where you can register for everything that we're going to talk, that we'll mention at some point in the service. So all of that is gathered in one place now for your convenience. I do want to encourage you to sign in, whether you're here or online. Also, I'm really excited today. We're beginning a brand new series, and it's called What Did Jesus Preach? Can I tell him what you said, Caleb?
Sure.
Caleb, when he read it, he thought it said, "What did I just preach?"
Thought it'd be a great
which is basically
sermon.
My drive home every Sunday. But anyway, anyway, I thought that we need to do that series sometime. Crazy stuff like. Anyway, we don't need to go there. But anyway, also, if you would like to serve, there is a slip of paper. If you're old school and you need a piece of paper and you'd like to use that, you can do that as well. On the back there of this Connect form, you can sign in that way as well. But on the back of it, it says Action Teams are recruiting for 2023. And I want to encourage you to check that out. You can also scan the QR code there if you're in the room and go online. That link is also on that web page. I want to say just a little bit more about that. We're hoping to create up to 4 teams, and these are called action teams. So guess what they do? They do stuff. Amen. They don't just meet and discuss what happened or, you know, plan things. I mean, they're going to plan some things as well, and they're going to do a little bit of that. But their main role is action. And there are 4 of them, and they go along with our new mission map for Asbury. And so there's a Connect team. That's basically discipleship, the Sunday school and small groups. How do we connect with each other as a church family? There is also a Serve team. And we really want to get that one started because that is our theme for 2023, and I'll say more about that in just a little bit. But this new Serve team will develop and facilitate outreach and missions events for our local community and beyond. And so if you're interested in being a part of the planning and developing process of that, I encourage you to sign up for that. The other one is the Embrace Team, and this is what we used to call hospitality. These are the folks that coordinate greeters and ushers and make sure that we have things in place as a church family so that when somebody visits here for the first time, that they get a nice warm welcome and they feel included and have new opportunities to build relationships here at Asbury. Finally, there's the Love Team. That's the care. Those are our care ministries. So things like hospital visitation, nursing home care, sending cards to folks when they're sick or when they have a birthday. If you're interested in being a part of that, some of that is already established, and we're going to do a little bit more. The two most important ones that we really want to get going early this year are the Serve Team and the Embrace Team. And we'd like to have those in place within the next couple of months so that we have stuff in place for Easter when we have a lot of guests. So I encourage you to pray about that. I hope you hear God calling you to serve in some way in our church family this year, and those are excellent opportunities for all of us to consider. As we transition into our offering, I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward. Today we're talking about Jesus' very first sermon and the call of the disciples. And one of the most surprising things about that story is basically, it looks like Jesus just met these guys at the beach and said, come follow me, and they dropped everything and followed him. One of the things that is inspiring about that story is that they used everything they were and everything they had to follow Christ. And that's what we do when we share God's tithes and our offerings every week. We're showing that we use what we have, what God has given us, in order to bless others. In that spirit, would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we pray knowing that everything that we have and everything we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And now we pray that you will bless these gifts which we return to you out of our love for you in the hope that you will use them in the building of your kingdom here at Asbury and far beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.
When the sea is calm and all is right, when I feel your favor flood my life, even in the good I'll follow you, even in the good I'll follow you. When the boat is tossed upon the waves, when I wonder if you'll keep me safe, even in the storms I'll follow you, even in the storms I'll follow you. I believe everything that you say you are. I believe that I have seen your unchanging heart in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you. The wicked prospering, when I feel I have no voice to sing, even in the want I'll follow you, even in the want I'll follow you. And I believe everything that you say you are. I believe that I have changing heart in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you. When I come to end this race I've run, and I receive the prize that Christ has won, I will be with you in paradise. Oh, I will be with you in paradise. When I find myself so far from home, and you lead me somewhere I don't want to go, Even in my death, I'll follow you. Even in my death, I'll follow you. Oh, yeah. And I believe everything that you say you are. I believe that I have seen your unchanging heart in the good things. In the hardest part, I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you. Oh, I believe everything that you say you are. I believe and I have seen your unchanging heart in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you.
Amen. Can I? They just learned that this morning. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. That's true. Thank y'all so much. That's wonderful. And our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll be in Matthew over the next few weeks looking at various things that Jesus preached during his preaching career. And this comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Now, when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, which lies alongside the sea, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, alongside the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who lived in the dark have seen a great light, and a light has come upon those who lived in the region and in the shadow of death." From that time, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, throwing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I always wonder what Zebedee thought about that. "Boys, you better get back here and finish your chores." Anyway, I'm sorry, that was a little digression. Jesus traveled through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome once again to Asbury. I'm very glad that you are here today. And welcome to everyone who's worshiping online as well. As I said a moment ago, there is one QR code that will take you to a page with all of the links for this service. I'll tell you something. I know we repeat some of this stuff sometimes. You know why? Because people don't watch the rest of the service. They flip forward to the sermon. I don't know why. I wish they didn't. Amen? But they do. And so that's why we announced that twice. Anyway, you can sign in and give there. You can also sign up for anything that requires a registration. And you can also find out more about our upcoming events. I want to share with you just a little bit about one of those, a little bit more. Coming up on, our theme for 2023 is Uniting to Serve. And back at the end of last year, we said we would have at least six opportunities to better serve our community. And the first one is coming up on Saturday, February the 4th. It's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It'll be here in the Wilson Activity Center. Our own Diana Verity, would you wave it? I know you're embarrassed. She sits back in the back so she can hide. But anyway, Diana Verity has organized an autism spectrum disorder workshop for us. It'll be here at the church. We have members in our church family with ASD, and it will help us to be more effective in our ministry with them. Even more, there are people in our mission field, in the neighborhoods in town where we live, that have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And one of the things that I have learned recently is some of those families are really uncomfortable coming to church for various reasons. And so this workshop will help our church family understand these families better and their needs, and help us to create a place that is safe and welcoming for them when they come to our church. There's no cost for the workshops, totally free. We do ask that you register, and you can register using the QR code or the link on the screen. I registered, and I want to encourage you to come. This will be our first in a series of Uniting to Serve events this year. But today, we're kicking off a brand new series. It's called What Did Jesus Preach? And today, we're going to begin with his very first sermon and the call of the first disciples. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we thank you for calling us to follow you each and every moment of our lives. God, we know that we fail sometimes and we let you down, but you always pick us back up on our feet and send us back out to do your work. So God, we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit poured out upon us so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Have you ever watched The Deadliest Catch? You know, raise your hand if you've ever seen that show. All right, so it's in its like 18th or 19th season. When it first came out, a buddy of mine comes up to me and he says, Brother Hammett, have you seen Deadliest Catch? And I said, no. I said, what's it about? And he said, these guys are nuts. I said, what's the show about? And he said, well, it's these fishermen off the Bering Sea in Alaska. A bunch of them die every year. And I'm like, well, why do they die? And he says, well, the weather's terrible. Have you seen The Perfect Storm? I said, yeah, I saw that movie. It was awful. He said, yeah, it's like that all the time. The water's freezing cold and the waves are huge. They have these survival suits, but, you know, if a rope catches their leg the wrong way, they will get pulled down right to the very bottom of the ocean. And I said, why do they do that? And he said, Alaskan king crab. They pull it up in these 1,800-pound pots, and they make a killing. So I watched the show, and he was right. If you've seen it, they are nuts, amen? I mean, they are just, I mean, these folks are crazy. They risk everything, family and life and limb, just to catch a whole bunch of crab and make some money. And I thought to myself, there is not enough money in the world to get me out on one of those boats with them. But it made me think of this morning's scripture reading from Matthew. So who do you think, when Jesus started his ministry, who did he think would be brave enough to follow him? Who did he think would be courageous enough to risk going wherever he went? Who do you think Jesus thought would be able to cut it as a disciple? Well, as it turns out, it was a bunch of fishermen like those guys. Now, there's an old adage you might have heard, and you can say it with me if you know it. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in morning, sailor's warning. Well, that saying is actually older than Jesus. And he actually mentions it later on in Matthew's gospel. But that morning, when Jesus called his first disciples, the sky had to be very, very red. Because you see, Jesus' mentor, John the Baptist, had been arrested. Matthew actually says he had been betrayed, which foreshadows what will happen to Jesus later on. Red sky indeed. They arrested John down in the south, and so Jesus takes off north to Galilee. Now, Matthew says that this fulfilled what God had foretold through the prophet Isaiah when Isaiah said, Zebulun's land and Naphtali's land, the seaway beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people there have been sitting in darkness, but have seen a great light. And to those sitting in death's country and shadow, light has risen to them. So what was it about Galilee that drew Jesus? Well, today we would say that Galilee was ethnically diverse. There were many differences between the Gentiles and Jews who lived side by side in Galilee. Differences of race, differences of religion and culture, nationality and values. They didn't even eat the same foods. So Jesus flees north to Galilee, and when he gets there, he shares the very same message that John was arrested for. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming near. Jesus began challenging Jews and Gentiles alike to change, to repent, to turn around and go in God's direction. Now, I don't have to tell you that telling people that they need to change is a risky thing to do, amen? We don't like that. And they didn't like it at all. Remember, hey, what was that? There is nobody behind me, and I don't know where that was. Anyway, well, these folks didn't like it all. This had gotten John killed. This message got John killed. And now Jesus was doing the same thing that John did. Well, after that red sky morning, Jesus goes down to the sea, and as he's walking along, he comes across two brothers. These guys are Simon, who's later on called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They're throwing their net in the sea, and I love that Matthew adds, because they were fishermen, as if that is necessary. But Jesus says to these guys, he says, come on, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And immediately, they drop their nets, and they follow him. And then they together go down the seashore a little further until they see two more brothers, and those are James and John. James and John were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus calls to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These four traveled with Jesus all through Galilee as he taught and preached and healed. And we will see that for the most part, they stayed with Jesus until the very end of the gospel. So Jesus shows us three things that he expects of his disciples in his first sermon and in the calling of these four students. First of all, Jesus expects transformation. Can we say that together? Jesus expects transformation. That is what repentance is all about. It's about change. Now, repentance usually kind of makes us afraid. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said that there are actually two types of repentance. The first one you could call, I like to call it wrath prevention. You know, you're so terrified of God that God's going to get you that you live your life right, or you're scared that God's going to send you to hell, and so you kind of mind your P's and Q's. Some Christians do tell people, if you don't get right with Jesus, God's going to zap you, God's going to get you. Now, Wesley characterized this kind of repentance as the repentance of a slave. Because you see, a slave does whatever he or she has to do in order to stave off the slave master's punishment. But here's the thing. Wesley said God is not a sadistic slave master. Amen? Amen? God's not like that. God is not a sadistic slave master. God is a loving parent. God loves us absolutely no matter what, absolutely unconditionally. Our faith is simply trusting in God's amazing love. And when we trust in that love, we don't want to let God down. It's about disappointing God, not incurring God's wrath upon us. In fact, if you really read the Bible carefully, God's wrath is a wrath of love. It's the kind of wrath that you feel when you let somebody who absolutely loves you down. I have a dear friend, and they have two parents, of course, you know, like most of us. And one of the parents is kind of this wrathful, judging kind of person, and everybody is just scared to death around that parent. But the other parent loves my friend no matter what, absolutely unconditionally. Which one do you think my friend would want to disappoint more? It's the one who loves her no matter what. The wrath that she feels when she lets that parent down is beyond measure. A lot of Christians don't realize that. So faith is trusting in God's love. When we trust in God's love, we don't want to let God down. It's not that we're afraid of punishment. It's that we're afraid of disappointing the one who loves us. Wesley called that true Christian repentance. And he called it the repentance of a child. He said the repentance of a son, of a daughter. Well, repentance is an ongoing process of transformation. I hope y'all repent a little bit every day. I have to, amen? As we study the Bible and we worship together, we get to know God more deeply, and then we understand more and more deeply that God loves us no matter what, and that love begins to take root and grow in our own hearts. When we do disappoint God, as all of us do, we confess our sins and we go in a new direction. As we do that day in and day out over the course of our lives, we become more and more like Christ. We become more understanding. We become more forgiving. We become more compassionate. We become more loving. So that brings us to the second thing that Jesus expects of his disciples, and that's this. Jesus expects commitment. Can we say that together? Jesus expects commitment. Now, notice that I didn't say Jesus demands commitment. That's what a sadistic slave master would do. Jesus issues invitations, not demands. Everyone who has joined a United Methodist Church ever has made a commitment to faithfully participate in the congregation's ministries by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And so together as a community of faith, we pray for each other, we pray for our pastors, we are present. And for Wesley, that really meant two things. We show up for worship regularly, and we participate in small groups like Sunday school. We then use our financial gifts to support God's ministry and grow God's kingdom through the church. We serve others in mission. And we witness to our faith in Jesus Christ, not only with the words that we say, but with the way that we live our lives. Committed disciples draw others to Christ. So that brings us to the third and most difficult expectation that Jesus has of us, and that is that Jesus expects disciples to make disciples. Can we say that together? Jesus expects disciples to make disciples. I want you to notice, I did not say preachers, amen? I mean, I hope I do. I mean, that's part of what I do, but I do that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, not as a pastor, not as a pastor. Jesus told Simon and Andrew to come follow him, and he would make them fishers of people. So how do we do that today? Well, if we want to follow Jesus and invite others to follow along with us, you have to know just two things. One is who Jesus was and what he did. And the way we find that out is by studying our Bible, especially reading our Bible in community with one another. Jesus lived and died to show us that God's love is unconditional. We call that grace. And God's grace in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what sets us free from evil, sin, and death. And it also sets us free to serve as agents of reconciliation and healing and grace in God's world. So you have to know Jesus and who he was, what he did. And then we have to know why people need the church. And I got to tell you, that is a tough sell right now. Why do people need the church? And I know better than anybody, I assure you, in this room that the church has shortcomings. We sin. We have faults and failures. We do things that Jesus told us not to do that weren't any of our business, like judging others. Sometimes we church folk get so wound up in trying to snuff out all the sin in the world that we forget that we are sinners. And we continue to deny Jesus Christ by the harm that we do to others as the church. And yet, in the midst of our faults and our failures, and in spite of the persistent sin at work in the church, people still encounter Jesus Christ through the church that he established. Carmen Berry is a lady that realized that several years ago. Carmen left her church because she said the church members failed to act like Christians. And she said then later that that was the very same reason why she returned, was because church members failed to act like Christians. Listen to what she said. She wrote, "I had overlooked one essential factor, that I am as finite and flawed as everyone else. When a friend died by suicide, I realized that I could become too cynical, too lost, and too alone. I needed a church, a community of believers. I needed to live in my faith and visit my doubts. Something happens there in church that simply doesn't happen when you are alone in prayer. As much as I hate to admit it, my faith is enhanced and enlarged when in relationship, and there's the key, to other less than perfect human beings. It's hard to wrap your mind around it, but the main reason that we need the church is because we need imperfect human beings so that we can learn how to love unconditionally. Do you hear that? We need imperfect human beings in our lives so that we can love unconditionally. That is how God first loved us. By staying in fellowship with one another, by breaking bread with one another, by praying for one another, we grow in love. That's why we need the church. So, when you know who Jesus is and what he did, and you know why people need the church, then you're ready to make disciples. But here's the thing. Jesus' followers have been making disciples for about 2,000 years. But the way that we have made disciples changed from generation to generation. The first Christians used Roman roads and word of mouth and a network of synagogues and persecution to make disciples. But that doesn't work anymore because we don't live in the first century AD. We also don't live in the 1990s. Friends, we don't live in the same world we did in February of 2020. As the world changes, how we make disciples must change along with it. So what's different now? Well, in the past, we could depend on people to come here to this facility. Many of us moved to Little Rock with finding a church home very near the top of our to-do list. But listen to this. 123,031-ish people live in the neighborhoods where we live. This is just our neighborhoods where folks from Asbury live. Our neighbors who live in our neighborhoods believe that God is love, and they cherish Jesus and his teachings, but they do not trust the church. And why? Because people in the church don't behave like Jesus. Our neighbors say that we are too judgmental and we're too focused on money. They don't trust religious leaders. Don't think that's not hard for me to say, amen? They don't trust religious leaders, and they don't trust organized religion. In fact, they are disillusioned with religion and not only see the church as irrelevant, but harmful. 72% of the people who live in our neighborhoods are not involved in a religious congregation or community. And when you do the math, that's 88,582 people. That is a red sky morning, if there ever was one. So how are we to make disciples in light of this new situation? Well, there are two things that are simple to say and difficult to live. The first thing is that we must be authentic followers of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is that we must acknowledge our own sin. We must confess our own vulnerability, our own faults, our own failures, our own misgivings. At the same time, we need to embody the life that Jesus calls us to live. We must be people who forgive. We must be people who don't judge. We must be people who love unconditionally, or at least a little more unconditionally each and every day. Second of all, we must go out into our community and serve. That is really what our theme for this year is all about. they will no longer come to us, and so we must go to them. Amen? Now, the good news is that's exactly what Jesus told the original disciples to do. If you want to flip forward to chapter 28 of Matthew's gospel, at the very end, Jesus makes his final appearance to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, and you remember what he says. He says, go. He doesn't say, go home and wait for them to come to you. He says, go. Go, therefore, disciple all the nations. And you can hear him say to us today, go, therefore, into West Little Rock. Go, therefore, into Riverdale. Go, therefore, into Hillcrest, into the Heights, into Midtown, and Leawood, and Foxcroft, and Lord help us, Camac Village, amen? Go, therefore, into Chenal Valley. Go into Southwest Little Rock. Disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you. And see, I am with you every day, until the end of the age. Now, why would Jesus add that last part? When you have to do something scary, don't you want somebody with you that loves you and that you can trust? What Jesus is saying is that following him means leaving our comfort zone. But it'll be okay. He will be right there with us. Following Christ means going into uncharted territory, taking risks, changing, and growing. I want to close with a story I heard a while back. It's by a pastor named Brent Mitchell, and he shared in a sermon some observations about lobsters. And I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know it before then, but lobsters, just like locusts, must shed their shells in order to grow. But the thing is, if they didn't leave their shell, they would die. But here's the scary thing. It takes several hours for a new shell to grow once the lobster leaves it. And it's a very dangerous time for the lobster. It's got to be terrifying. They're completely vulnerable, and of course, hordes of hungry fish are surrounding them, ready to gobble them up. I want to close with Reverend Mitchell's observation or reflection. He says, for a while at least, that old shell must look pretty good. We are not so different from lobsters. To change and grow, we must sometimes shed our shells, a structure, a framework we've depended on. Discipleship means being so committed to Christ that when he bids us to follow, we will change, risk, grow, and leave our shells behind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for calling us into ever deeper waters with you. And Lord, we know that things have changed all around us, and people are fearful, people are angry. It seems that every day there's more violence. And so, God, we pray that you will call us once again to reflect the light of your love into a world that is full of darkness. Help us to follow you faithfully so that we might be fruitful in our desire to make disciples who make disciples who follow you more faithfully and fruitfully every day. God, we pray for our church family, and we pray for one another. Give us the courage that we need to follow you each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. I want to encourage you today. Actually, first, if you want to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that. If you have never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and received baptism, I'd love to visit with you about that after the service. If you would like to transfer from another United Methodist Church or any other denomination, any other Christian denomination, you're welcome to do that. Just come down at the close of this next song. I want to invite you today to a time of prayer. You're welcome to use the prayer station over here if you like. I believe that each and every one of us can think of three people. They're friends, they may be family, they may be co-workers, but three people in our circle who do not have a church home. Even more, there may be one of them that does not have saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. As you think of those names, I want you to pray for them. And if they don't come to mind during the service, that's okay. Write them down at home. And I want to ask you to pray for those folks every day for the next 3 months. For how long? For 3 months. And I want you to ask God to open your eyes to see opportunities where you can invite them to come and to be a part of God's family in the church. You're welcome. If you'd like to write the names down, you can use the prayer station. You can come forward and pray at the altar if you like. But let's join together as we sing Run to the Father.
I wasn't created.
I want to invite you to come back next Sunday for as we look at the Beatitudes. This is we'll begin Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we'll be talking about what it means to be truly happy as a Christian. I do want you to know that the church office will be closed tomorrow in recognition of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Also, our women's Bible study is going to begin next week. You can sign up using the link in the Things email from earlier in the week or contact Jenny Curris. And then I mentioned the ASD workshop. I want to encourage you to sign up for that as well. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.
We're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you at Asbury.